Good morning. We're glad that you're here. Stand with us as we worship our Lord this morning.
Watch the giants fall, for fear cannot survive when we Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, mount of thy redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, past has brought me to this place, and I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to pay. Let thy goodness like a feather by my wandering heart to me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I know. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. On that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, full of radiant blood washed linen. How I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, bring thy promises to pass. For I know thy power will keep me till I'm home with thee at last.
Amen. You may be seated.
And all will cry out and sing hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Love that. Thank you, worship team, this morning for leading us at the start of this service. Welcome to New Life Church as well. My name is Kevin DeWold, and I have the privilege of being your host today. And I tell you, if you notice, I haven't been around for a few weeks. My daughter, Kendra, and I just recently returned from a trip to India, which we saw just God working in amazing ways at a girls' school there. This is not the time to talk about that. I won't go into all that in there. But if you have questions about that, I'm happy to talk about it more. But what we missed was, over the last 3 weeks, we haven't been able to gather together in worship. And it's so good to be back in this community again and to just worship this morning. If you are a little late, ages 3 to 5, you'll be continuing in worship downstairs. But kids, before you head down, we want to pray a blessing over you and your leaders, so please come down and take a seat at the front steps here. And if you are serving in Little Lights this morning, please also come down. Parents, you can bring your children downstairs or let our leaders help them after the prayer as well. So come on down now. Kids Church, grades 1 to 5, you'll be joining us in the service this summer. There are activity packs available for you in the chest over there, which you can get a little later in the service. So come on down, kids. There we come. Awesome. All right, congregation, let's please extend a hand over these children and let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for these kids. We thank you for their presence here. We thank you for their families, their parents, and we just pray that you will bless them today, that you will reveal yourself to them today as they continue to worship you downstairs. Thank you for these leaders who are serving your kingdom in this way as they volunteer to lead these kids. We ask that you will bless them as well this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, so you can go out on the door on my left there. I think you guys know the way. Awesome. Great. So we are so happy that you are here with us today. If you are a guest with us and you want to learn more about New Life, we ask you to fill out the Connect card that's in the seat pockets that are in front of the benches there and chairs, and bring it to the info booth in the foyer in the lobby. And there you will receive a New Life tote bag with a tumbler and a bag of Honduran coffee inside. And if you're online this morning, just comment where you are and who you're watching with. That'd be great. But now I would like to invite those going on the Esperanza missions trip to make their way down, if you can make your way down here to the front. Esperanza Mission Ministries is on the west coast of Vancouver Island. It's opposite, kind of opposite Campbell River, and has been one of New Life's mission partners for many years. Their mission is to share the light of the gospel to the peoples, which are mainly indigenous peoples, on the west coast of the island. They do this by providing a safe place for families. They offer kids, teens, and family camps, and they go into the local communities around there and serve in those local communities around them. New Life has been sending teams there for probably, I don't know, I want to say 20 years, probably more than that, maybe. I don't know. Many, many years. And my family, me and my family, have had the privilege to go there multiple times and serve that ministry there as well in the summer, such as the team that's going now. Each year, there are multiple ways to serve and help support and build that ministry. And I highly recommend it for families, young families. If you have the opportunity to go in future years with your family, do it. It's an amazing blessing, a good way to teach our kids how to serve in the kingdom of God as well. And come to talk to me about it, or anybody up here as well would be happy to talk about Esperanza, I'm sure. They have had an amazing impact in the name of Jesus in that area, and I'm so happy to see that we have another group that's going again to serve. I could go on and on, but I won't, because I have Janet here. So, Janet, maybe you can talk a little bit more, say a few words about what you guys are doing this time, this trip?
Yeah, so this time we have a somewhat smaller group. Sometimes we've had really big groups, but we have 18 people going, 19 people going, and 10 of us have gone before, and then the others are all new this year. So that will be interesting, like getting them all oriented and telling them what work they have to do while we sit back. No, I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. But the work we'll be doing is quite a lot of maintenance type of thing. We've got some guys who are really good on things like generators and know their way around machines. And we've got people who can chop wood and sort things out for them that way. And I think we have to put a door on the generator shed. And we're going to be doing painting. And then there's also the greenhouse. We will be doing a lot of work up in the greenhouse and general yard work, and hopefully meeting up with some of the First Nations people. So that's what we're planning to do. And please pray that we'll get there safely, that the ferries will be cooperative. And because it's a long, it sounds, oh, we're only going to the other side of Vancouver Island, but we leave about 6:30 in the morning and don't get there till about 5 in the evening because of the logging roads and the boats. So just remember to pray. Some of us are going Saturday and the rest are following on Monday. So please hold us in your prayers. And we have somebody, Sherry, is going to tell us why she and her family go.
We've gone, this will be our third trip, I think. We went once before COVID and then last year and this year. And the reason we continue to go is it's just it's just so wonderful to do service in the Lord's name and to help a wonderful place like Esperanza. It doesn't matter if you have any special skill. There's always some work you can do there. And I always tell everybody when we go that we work hard and we play hard, because we have some pretty cutthroat card games going on at night after workday. And it's just really, it's really nice to go and just create community and create special relationships with people in your church that you might wave to on the other side and you never really talk to. But, you know, we can become a pretty close-knit group, and those relationships just continue when we come back, and it's just a wonderful time.
Yeah, it's fun to know who's really competitive in this church, which we find out in the evenings. But it does really build community, and I know I've got to know a lot of people by going, so that's one good thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. After spending a week together playing cards, you get to know people pretty well. And but it's been awesome one of the times that we went as well. All right, so let's now join me, please, in praying a blessing over the team and the ministry of Esperanza as they head out this week. Dear Father in heaven, just first of all, thank you for Esperanza Ministries and all that they have done in serving your kingdom and being a light to the people on the west coast of the island for so many years. Your hand has clearly been with them, and we ask for your continued blessing on them this year and future years as well. And we just ask for your blessing on this team as they prepare to go out and serve you in that capacity over there, that you will grant them safe travels with the ferries, and I think that it all goes smoothly. And I just pray that you will bless them, bless the ministry through the work that they're doing, bless the community of New Life as they're going, and as they work and play together, and bring them safely home to us the week later. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. I wish I was going this year. Okay, a couple of announcements here. Superhero Park Days are back, and they are going to be this week. But note that the timing is, because Monday's a holiday tomorrow, that it's going to be Tuesday to Friday this week, August 8th to 11th. And it's from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Del Air Park. So again, this is a way for our church to be able to reach out to the community around us, the Del Air community around us, and show just the love of Jesus to kids and families around here. And so we anticipate a great time together, opportunity to meet new people, new neighbors, and let them know who we are and why we're here. So if you can, please come out one morning, or come out every morning this week and join the fun. We could use your help and presence there. You don't have to be part of this Del Air community to participate, so invite your neighbors and come down to Del Air Park and join the fun there. Second announcement is that we are going to be hosting a block party again as our fall kickoff, and it's happening on Sunday, September 10th, so maybe make a note of that. And it'll be after church from noon until about 2:30 p.m. And we are excited to partner with Cascade Community Church next door, with New Life Korean Church, which meets here in this building in the afternoons on Sundays, and Zion CRC, which is just down the road on Del Air. So four churches are banding together to bring a family-friendly, fun event with food, games, bouncy castles, and lots more. The events will be spread around the three church buildings, and there'll be lots to do for all ages. A block party, though, is a community effort, so we also need your help to make this event a success. And some of the things that we need help with is barbecuing, face painting, serving cotton candy, popcorn, and more. So there's plenty of jobs that we need help with. So please, if you can, let the office here know if you're able to help with any of that, any of the time slots there. Our offering this week is a way to express our love and thankfulness for what God has done for us. It's a form of worship in there. So today, our designated offering cause is New Life Ministries. You can give electronically in the ways listed on the screen, or bring it to one of the offering boxes that are at the front of the church there on both sides as well. If you are giving online, please include your full name and your gift designation in the memo line of your e-transfer, or if you're giving through the New Life app. Let's pray for the offering. Dear Lord, let's pray that you will bless this offering today to support the ministries here at New Life, the various programs and activities as we look to build community and reach out to those around us today. Please bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, fellowship time. Every service, we have a three-minute fellowship time, which we will take now. Kids, grades 1 to 5. Kids Church, you can pick up that activity pack from the treasure box to my right. Please return the pack with any reusable materials after the service. And during this time, we encourage you to meet someone else and bless them. And you can also bring your offering to the front. And if you're looking for a question, maybe ask the people around you, have you ever heard of Esperanza Ministries? And see what they say. Thanks for having me.
Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce, and I'll lead you through the rest of the service this morning. Could I have all the grade 1 to 5 come down to the front? Grade 1 to 5. It's a long weekend. You get to be part of the service this morning. And I need you to participate, otherwise this will go really badly if I don't have any of you. So, and then I'm just going to start recruiting adults, okay? So grade 1 to 5, if you're here this morning, Peter, come on down. I see you over there. Come on down. I need you. Come on up. Oh, and you guys got coffee. Okay, you got to put the coffee down because that isn't going to work. You guys shouldn't be drinking coffee anyway. It turns your hair green. Didn't you hear that old wives' tale? Okay, come on up. Thanks, Peter. No. It's all good. It's all good. Come on, 1 to 5. You got to come up here, okay? Come on up. Come on up. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. I need you. All right. I got 5 volunteers. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? No. Okay. Oh, okay. Hannah, come on. Okay, there we go. This is enough. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, because I wanted to include you in the service today because there's nothing downstairs for you. So this way you get to be part of the service. We're going to do a spontaneous drama, okay? A spontaneous drama. So I need some volunteers. Peter's going to be a guard, all right?
Ow.
We're doing Acts chapter 12, okay? So he's big, so be like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, guard, right? Okay? And I need another guard. Who wants to be another guard? And because we're like an equal opportunity employer, all right, we'll make you a guard, okay? All right, now I need a Peter. Who's going to be Peter?
Not Peter, apparently.
No, not Peter. No. Like I said, oh, Peter. How about you be a Peter? Are you okay with being Peter? You don't have to do anything too much, but a little bit. Okay, now who wants to be an angel? Okay, parents, which of these kids have been most angelic this week? None? Oh, okay, never mind. Oh, see, she's got her hand raised. You do kind of look like an angel, so that's good. Okay, so I need Peter. Peter, you come over here and just sit down. Just sit down. Sit on the ground. And I need my bodyguards over here. Come here. Okay, you are going to, like, you just sit beside Peter like you're guarding him, okay? But, you know, we need some kind of props here, okay? So here you go. You get a Roman sword. Don't hurt anybody with it because insurance liability issues, okay? All right. Now, I need a Rhoda. Who's a Rhoda? Hannah's always a good, she's a good sport. You be Rhoda, okay? You have an important part. And the rest of you guys, not the angel, you come over here. You come over here, and you're going to be the believers, okay? And your only job is to pray. So sit down, like you're in a prayer group, small group, praying. Okay, so now we're going to tell the story, because it would be just as long if I read it as if we did it as a drama. Okay, so here's the deal. You are in Jerusalem, all right? And Herod is the king. Now, every time I say the word Herod, all of you guys have to say, boo, okay? So, Herod is the king.
Boo.
Boo. See, Herod, not a nice guy, okay? So, you guys are in the believer's house, and Peter has been taken by Herod, okay? And he is over here. Peter's over here, and he is in prison, and he's guarded by these guards. Rhoda, you got to get over here by the believers, okay? You're in the wrong spot. Okay, so now, all the believers, they're very worried about Peter. Why? Because Herod is thinking about killing Peter, which is not a good thing, right? So they're all praying. They're like, Lord, please, please, please let Peter get out of prison. Okay, so you guys, like, pray together. Let me fold your hands. Please, Lord, go ahead. Let Peter get out of prison.
Let Peter get out
okay,
of prison.
Okay, good. Now, Rhoda, right, you are the door woman, okay? So you get to answer the door when your time comes. It's a big part. It's huge, okay? So just be ready. Okay. So what happens is that a miraculous thing takes place. Now, the guards, you kind of look too alert at this point. It's probably in the middle of the night, and you guys are sleeping, right? Because you're guarding Peter, and you're sleeping. Okay, so you got to go to sleep. Okay. Let me hear some snoring. Okay, snore like your dad snores. Okay.
Dad used
a
CPAP machine.
Oh, CPAP machine. We're sharing secrets here. Sorry, Marvin. We didn't mean to out you like that. Okay, so the guards are sleeping. Now, it's important that the guards are looking after the prisoner, because if the guards lose track of their prisoner, bad things would happen to them. And I'm not going to go into details. But you had to be really make sure you're watching it. But you're probably sleeping. And then in the middle of the night, all the believers are praying. You guys, why aren't you praying anymore? You're fervently in prayer. Okay. Now, and then an angel of the Lord comes and takes Peter, take him by the hand, and you get him out of prison. And the guards, they don't even know. And just get Peter. Peter's, all of a sudden, Peter's out of prison. It's unbelievable. He goes through locked doors. He goes through everything. Now, wait. You're not quite going to the believers yet, okay? So, now, angel, say, that's okay. Your part's done. Okay, so, yeah, just go over there. Okay. So, now, Peter comes, and he knocks on the door of the place where the believers are. Knock, knock, knock. Not bang, bang, bang. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. And Rhoda, who's a little girl, kind of like you, she goes to the door and she sees Peter and she's really excited because Peter's out of prison. Yay! But she's so excited that she forgets to open the door. And she runs back to the believers and she says, Peter is released from jail, and he's at the front door. Go ahead.
Peter's released from jail, and he's at the front door.
And you know what the believers say? They're like, oh, Rhoda, quit telling stories, right? They don't believe Rhoda because they're so fervently in prayer that they don't believe her. And so Rhoda's like, no. So you guys were like, Rhoda, come on, Rhoda. Go ahead. Okay, but Rhoda insists. She's like, no, you got to believe me. Peter's at the door.
No, you got to believe me. Peter's at the door.
And they actually say, it's probably an angel. Go ahead.
It's probably an angel.
But it wasn't. It was actually Peter. So finally, one of the believers gets up. Here, once you get up, you go to the door, and you open the door, and it's Peter! And you hug him because it's Peter and you're really excited. And Peter comes in and he joins the believers and he's all freed. And it's an amazing miracle. Isn't that a great story? Okay, you guys go back to your seats. Good job. Good job, you guys. Oh, I forgot the angel wing, but that's okay. Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys. You were amazing. You were amazing. You were amazing spontaneous drama people. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rhoda. All right. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and thank you. Thanks for kids. Thanks for drama. Thanks that we can live into this amazing story that you're telling in human history. We bless and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let me just... start this morning with some prayers from kids. Because, I mean, we're starting with this character named Rhoda, who is this little girl in Acts chapter 12. And I thought this morning, I have this really amazing book that I really, really treasure. And it's called Prayers of Kids. Prayers of Kids. Some are funny, some are sort of more poignant. Let's just go through that if we have those. The first one is, Dear God, thanks for my baby brother, but what I asked for was a puppy. Next one. Dear God, is it okay if my dad uses his golf words in the house? No, it's not okay. It's not okay. Dear God, please do not give my big brother anything for his birthday. He never leaves the toilet seat down. That's typical. Dear God, some of my friends don't believe you exist. Could you please send a signed picture of yourself to me? Thanks. Wouldn't we all like one of those, huh? Dear God, sometimes I'm worried, but then I think of you. I like that one. The next one. Dear God, did you really invent mosquitoes? All of us have asked that question. Dear God, I really like the rainbow you made last week, and ice cream too, and TV, but I know I'm not supposed to watch too much. That's all. Dear God, please keep my mom and dad together. I love them both. Last one. Dear God, I love you. I love you. We're in this series called What a Character. What a Character. And I want to talk to you today about what little children like Rhoda's can teach us, okay? Because they can teach us so much. They teach us what it means for us to enter into the kingdom as little children. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he spoke very dramatically about this. He said, "Let the little children come to me, for to them belongs the kingdom of God." And he said, even more profoundly, he said, unless you become like a little child, unless you learn what it means to have the kind of faith that a child has, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Which is a profound thing. And this is what I wanted you to see this morning. I mean, look at Rhoda. Look at this little one. And look at the kind of faith that she has. And it's kind of a humorous story, right? Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, and you can just see him as he's penning this story. He's smiling, right? He's smiling. He's like, all the believers are over here, and they're fervently in prayer, right? Like they, God, please, please let Peter get release Peter from prison, because otherwise Herod is going to kill him, right? And little Rhoda sees Peter at the door, and she's so excited. So she's cued into what, you know, everybody's praying about, and she's cued into what the adults are on about, and she sees Peter, and she's so excited. She goes to them, "Peter's at the door!" Right? And they're all like, "Rhoda, this is a very serious prayer group, okay? We are seriously praying for Peter's release. Please don't bother us, okay?" And she's like, no, you don't get it, you don't get it. Peter's released, Peter's at the door. And they're like, "Rhoda, listen, okay? You're just a little bit of a fanciful thinker here, okay?" And she's like, no. And can you see the drama of this? And as Luke is writing about it, and Luke is this historian, so he's looked into these things. He's heard this story as it circulated around Jerusalem, and he's smiling. And he's like, little Rhoda is going to teach us about the nature of faith, the kind of faith that we're supposed to have, the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. Rhoda, which literally means rosebud, was this doorkeeper for the house of Mary in Jerusalem, and she's doing her job. And Peter has been saved. He's been released in this miraculous way, right? So let's look this morning at what Rhoda can teach us. And I want to talk about three things this morning. Three reasons why you need a Rhoda or two in your life. You need a Rhoda or two in your life. First of all, Rhodas teach us to live and believe with reckless confidence. Rhodas teach us to live and believe with reckless confidence. Children live life with reckless abandon. They throw themselves into everything wholeheartedly. They don't hold themselves back. Sharon and I had a chance to go with Ty and Thomas this summer to Homewood, which is on Quadra Island, and it was so great. And what was one of the greatest parts is that we had this bottle rocket making competition, right? And I thought, okay, they'll fire these things off and they'll go like, you know, 100 yards or so. They went like half a kilometer, like some of these bottle rockets. And what was amazing to me, because I mean, a lot of people were watching the rockets and I did too, but I was watching the faces of the kids, and the kids were like they couldn't believe it. There was this wonder, there was this enjoyment of the moment that I thought, if only we all, with all of our things that we get to do, with every golf game, with every time we get to go to a restaurant, if we would have that same sense of wonder, that same sense of just sort of recklessly abandoning ourselves to the moment, the joy of being in that space. There's a wonderful passage in the Gospel of Luke
Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 24. And again, I've talked about this already, but this is what this passage evokes in Jesus. So Jesus sends out all of his disciples on a ministry trip, like to Esperanza or something like that, right? And they go and they have this amazing adventure in the kingdom, and they actually live into the kingdom, and they start believing in the kingdom, and they start doing things like healing people and doing different things, and they come back to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you wouldn't believe it, that even the demons submitted to us in your name. And then Luke chapter 10, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Isn't that a wonderful line? It's like when we start to believe in this way, when we have faith in this way, that's what defeats the prince of darkness, right? It's that kind of faith. It's that kind of believing, right? I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven, right? At that time, Jesus, full of joy. Did you hear that? Jesus, full of joy. Because he's seeing his disciples start to understand the nature of the kingdom. Through the Holy Spirit says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. A while back, I remember going on a mission trip to Mexico, actually with a group from here in New Life. This was years ago. And we had this sort of affirmation thing that we did on the beach. And so we went to the beach, and then you sort of go around the group, and everybody sort of says something that they really value in the person that's sort of on the spot. And they got to me, and of course there was a really long and awkward silence. But finally, someone says... He said to me, Pastor Bruce, you are like a little kid. And I thought to myself, I thought only Sharon could say that to me. Like, it almost sounds insulting, right? I mean, if you would be coming out of Costco this week and I said to you, you are so naive, right? You are so childlike. You'd be like, what? What? Like, it wouldn't be a compliment in our culture, right? But as I started to think about it, I thought, that's one of the best compliments I've ever got. Because what they were saying is, Pastor Bruce, you embody what it means to have a kind of a childlike faith. And I'm not saying that to like pump myself up or anything like that, but that's the kind of faith that we're supposed to have, right? We're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe. And when we believe in that way, Satan falls like. What I find striking about Rhoda's story is that everyone is praying, but only Rhoda has enough faith to get up and actually answer the door. Think about that. You see, her God is able to answer prayer. The adults have become cynical. Miracles, come on. They don't happen. We know where Peter is. Peter's in jail, right? But not Rhoda. It makes perfect sense to her that Peter has been saved. After all, wasn't that what they were praying for? What's the point of praying if you don't believe that God can do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine? Didn't Jesus tell us, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you? Why don't we believe that? How many of us have quit praying? I mean that. How many of us have quit praying because we kind of don't believe anymore that God is going to answer prayer? This is why Rhoda is so important. We need someone like Rhoda. We need the children in our life to teach us to believe and to trust and to act in that way. Now, again, I'm not telling you to embrace naivety, friends. There's a difference between having a childish faith and a childlike faith. But isn't it true that so often we tend to rationalize or theologize instead of just believing and doing? Jesus says, love one another. And our first question is, with what kind of love? And who should I love? I mean, and maybe I should take a course or something like that, right? Who to love? And Jesus says, okay, let me just, tell you what this is. And he teaches us this parable of the Good Samaritan. He's like, it's the person next to you. It's the person on the road that needs help. Like, how hard is that? But we overthink everything all the time, right? Jesus says, pray big prayers and put your lives on the line for the sake of the kingdom. And trust me, no matter what we say. But that's scary. That's scary. Jesus says, just do it, and you'll be amazed. As amazed as Rhoda. All right, second thing that Rhoda can teach us. Rhoda's remind us that in God's economy, the first are last, and the last are first. Jesus makes this startling affirmation, unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Imagine how strange this scenario of Jesus placing a child in the midst of all these people to teach them about discipleship would have seemed to Jesus' disciples. After all, Jesus didn't have any children of his own. Why a child? Now, you may think, because, children are so valuable. Actually, in that culture, children weren't thought of as valuable. Children were thought of as expendable, right? If you understand something about history, you know there's a vast difference between children in Jesus' culture and how children are viewed today. Childhood is largely a Victorian invention. Before 1800, the protected stage of childhood is missing from history. We see hints of what it was like for children in Jesus' day when we look at some Islamic cultures around the world and where girls are given in marriage sometimes as early as 9 years of age. Up until the Enlightenment, large numbers of children toiled under the worst possible conditions in mines and fields and sweatshops, and public hangings of children were common. You didn't know that, did you? Children weren't always thought of in sort of the elevated way that they're thought of today. They were thought of as the least of these. And that's why Jesus takes this child and places it in their midst and says, now, if you elevate this child, if this is someone that you can serve, if this is someone that you can value, then you will understand the concept of the first are last and the last are first. Little ones, Jesus said, belong to him. They are weak, but he is what?
Strong.
He is strong. You see, friends, Jesus' whole ministry was a revelation of this new economy that his kingdom was revealing, an upside-down economy to the ones of this world, an economy in which the first are last. And the last are first. Over the years, as a pastor, I've done a lot of what I call first baby visits. And I didn't always visit everybody every time they had a baby because, that was just undoable, right, in terms of the numbers of people and the numbers of babies. But what I always would make a point of doing is I would always, when a couple had their first baby, I would always make sure I did an in-person visit. And the reason for that is because there's a lot going on, right? They're learning a lot, and oftentimes I would get there, and they would open the door, they'd be like, "Thank God, you're here," right? Like, it's tough, right? I mean, if it's not midnight feedings, and you don't know what you're doing, and there's poopy diapers and sleepless nights, and by a week in, you feel like you're losing your mind, right? And what I always would tell them, I would say, listen, number one, we're here, okay? The community is here for you, to help you, and we will help you. So don't be like heroic. Like, let us help you, because we all understand the situation that you're going through. But then I would say this to them. I would say, listen, 6 months from now, you will learn, you will discover that this baby has taught you more about patience, more about faithfulness, more about stick-to-itiveness than anything else in your life. See, little children, when we serve them, when we give of ourselves, we learn some important kingdom lessons, don't we? Don't we? Part of why you need a rota or two in your life, because it will help you understand the heart of the Father. His compassion for those who have no power. His compassion for the needy and the weak. His compassion for the littlest and the least. His compassion even for you. Who are the rotas in your life right now? And what are they teaching you? Final thing. Rotas teach us joy. Rotas teach us joy. You know, I think one of the reasons this story got recorded in the Bible is just because of the humor of it, right? I mean, can you hear some of the Christians in Jerusalem telling to each other, okay, so get this. Peter's at the door, and Rhoda doesn't answer the door. She goes back to the believers, and then the other person's going, you know what? My kids are just like that. They would do exactly the same thing. They wouldn't answer the door. And they're laughing together about this. Sometimes we can be so serious as Christians, can't we? Sometimes we can be so much more like the adults in this story that are skeptical, Rhoda. Sometimes we can be so concerned about all the challenges that we face in life that we fail to be surprised by God's grace. But the Rhodas, the little ones among us, call us back to joy. They remind us that we serve a joyful God, one who loves to surprise us with grace in love. Tell me, friends, when is the last time that you've been overjoyed at the fact that you are not alone in the universe? That you have a Heavenly Father who's crazy about you and who will never let you go, even when times get tough or even when you're not faithful. When is the last time you celebrated that if you know and love Him like Peter, you have been freed from prison, the prison of your sin, the prison of your shame, the prison of your regret, the prison of your past? When is the last time that you realized that however dark your life might look right now, your story, my story, the big story that God is telling in human history doesn't end with death, but ends with a knock on the door in the middle of the night and a God who saves the day. Children know of this kind of joyful freedom, don't they? Ask a child what they're going to eat next week. They're like, I don't know. Ask them if they feel guilty about what they did wrong last month, and they'll look at you rather strange. Ask them if their mom and dad really love them, and they'll say, duh, right? The point is, children are free of many of the hang-ups that we have about belonging. Children don't worry about the past. They're not haunted by feelings of guilt as we are, although we shouldn't, because we've been forgiven in Jesus' name. And kids don't worry about the future, and we're not supposed to either. Moreover, children don't have to earn their parents' love. It's simply a given. But we live with this false sense of having to be good enough to be accepted by God. You got a Rhoda in your life? Maybe she or him are living in your own house. Let them teach you joy. Let them teach you about faith. Let them teach you about life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and the reminder of what it means to have faith in you. the kind of faith that Rhoda had, the kind of faith that just believes, the kind of faith that believes that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, that prayers get answered, that love will win the day. Lord, sometimes we complicate our faith so much. Help us to believe, to love, to follow, as a child would. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Please stand. benediction this morning, we'd like to just sing a children's song over you. So if you'd extend your hands and let us sing this song over you.
Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells us so. Little to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
The Bible tells.